This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
People all the world, everybody.
Good hands. I love.
What does this song make you think of? Just say it, doesn't matter.
Oh,
first thing you think of.
Oh, I know what I always think about. Loving. On
okay.
The train.
Oh, I think of Coors Light.
Oh, I think about Loving. Oh, my bad. I think about Loving on the train.
They branded the hell out of those commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, there's going to be a train that busts through the wall any minute, and it's going to start snowing.
Yeah, I thought Loving on the train.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's about, I mean.
Oh, that's what you think they mean.
How many trains have you been on? I promise you, Andy, I've been on a train.
What type of train are you talking about?
Okay, Andy, I'm talking about the one you ride on, Andy.
There's all kinds of love
trains.
I've been
on three. Two.
Oh, okay. I used to ride the train every single day when I lived in Boston, because that's how I got to school.
Right.
Drive the C line down Comm Ave.
Okay, yeah, like I've taken a subway in New York City. I've never taken a MARTA in Atlanta. Ever.
Okay. I've taken the MARTA in Atlanta before.
It's really great if
it goes to your part of town.
Yeah.
Really, really great.
We rode on the train twice. We went to Berlin twice. Mm-hmm. And I think I might have rode a train somewhere else.
So I lived in the East Coast, not just going to school and all that kind of stuff daily. That was my transportation on a daily basis. But we would do stuff all over the Northeast related to the school. Either we're going to another school to call a game, or I worked for the school, so we'd be doing like graduate conferences and stuff like that. We took the train everywhere. I took the train from Boston to New York a bunch of times, Boston to D.C. a few times. It's pretty great. Like,
it seemed like it's not
the fastest route. Flying is obviously faster. Right. Although Boston to New York's pretty comparable, just like getting to the airport, getting checked in and getting out and all that. But it's great. You get in, you sit down, you don't have to do anything. They serve drinks. It's like the most laid-back way to travel. I love taking the train in Boston, like just as a mode of transportation too, because you never had to worry about, how am I going to have a few? And then, no, you're never driving.
Right.
And you can ride the train as drunk as you want. It's great.
I love it. I mean, I'm going to get on the train. You know what? I'm going to ride the damn MARTA this weekend. No, I ain't got no reason to come down here to ride the MARTA. We'll schedule for another weekend.
Yeah.
Would you ride the MARTA with me?
I love riding the MARTA. It's great. Right. It's such an easy way to get around. Again, if it accesses your very specific part of town. You live where I live. I would love it if it came out there. If MARTA went up Atlanta Road and went by my house, I'd ride the MARTA to work every day.
I wouldn't blame you.
I would do every single day. I would do it. But it doesn't, and it probably never will. But maybe someday. Maybe we'll make some change.
What happens here? Legalized sports gambling or MARTA going out there?
Legalized sports. These are the three options.
Yes.
What happens first? Okay. Legalized sports gambling, MARTA goes to Cobb County, or weed. Legalized marijuana.
Man.
Like recreational. I know medical is, but recreational. Not a damn one of those things is
not
ever going to happen.
None of them. I was like, none of them.
Nah, I think gambling's going to happen eventually.
You think so?
I think so. It's just, there's so much momentum for it. You know, it's just happening everywhere. I don't know. Who knows? I'd like to do all three at once, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Listen, have a party.
Take an edible, get on the train, and play some bets.
Yeah, man, that'd be a hell of a day if all three of them come down.
I mean,
they just did the NIL thing, whatever that meant. So I don't know.
Yeah, anything's possible. All right. Well, speaking of NIL, we'll get to a college football corner coming up in 15 minutes.
I don't know who to believe.
The most.
Yeah,
I don't either. And honestly, I think for the purposes of the discussion we'll get into in 15 minutes regarding UNLV and their quarterback leaving, it does matter, of course. The details of who to believe matter, but the bigger picture problem we'll get into as well. We got some Kirby audio as well, talking about getting ready for Saturday night against Alabama. Back page with Bo coming up at 12:40. This hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Let's get to an NFL no huddle. All right, so we don't have the audio of it. We'll probably have the audio of it later today or tomorrow. But Raheem has met with the media once again. He'll be on with Dukes and Bell today, right? Yeah,
yep,
he'll be on with Dukes and Bell this afternoon.
Yep.
But we've got the quotes from Joe Patrick. They asked him, of course, about that final offensive play. Here's what Raheem said. He said, quote, "We were in the right play if we block Bolton, and we absolutely did not," which pretty much confirms what you've been saying about it all week.
Yeah.
But Raheem also said if we did make the block, they'd be celebrating in the city having block parties, but that didn't happen since they didn't block Bolton.
Hey, man, I'm telling you now, and I know how Raheem is and everything. Like, when you lose a game, they always say that one play doesn't lose a game. You know what I mean? But one play can have an effect on a game that you lose it.
Yeah, man.
You blocked it. If it's blocked, Doug, I'm telling you, Bijan might score. Because he's going to beat that guy to the hole or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, you can't go back on it. It's not going to help you going forward. Obviously, if you run it again, your running back who you want to be your lead blocker will know where to go.
Yeah, you think they run it again?
No.
I think that plays off the sheet.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think they run anytime soon. But it'll be back there. It'll be back in the brain of Z-Rob. But, yeah, I mean, it's so close to winning and losing, man. It's inches. It's a missed assignment. It's everything. And you can't have those in crucial times the way they did. And they had that, and that's why they are in a position where they are. Now, this is a completely different animal they're dealing with as far as the Saints, because they couldn't handle the physicality of, like Dave was saying, of this Kansas City Chiefs. This damn New Orleans defense is just as physical. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't have an A-plus prime 10-star defensive player like Chris Jones on this defense, but they got a whole bunch of cellmates, and they will bust you in your face. So the Falcons, they're gonna have to, you know what? They're gonna have to strap up, eat another steak at the pregame, get their weight up, man, because it's gonna be a physical game on both sides of the ball.
My guess is just based on the way the NFL goes, but also the way the Falcons games have gone early in this season, it's gonna be a tight ball game.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a fourth quarter game,
one possession game.
Whether you have the ball in Kirk Cousins' hands to win it, as you have in each of the first three games, or they have the ball in Carr's hands to win it, one way or the other, like, it's gonna be a one possession game in the fourth quarter most likely, and you're gonna have to make these plays. Like, I just look. I know you got to answer the questions, and he's an optimistic guy, so he's gonna maintain a positive outlook on stuff. But like, the fact that had the play gone differently, everyone would be happy. It's not going to make anyone feel better.
It shouldn't.
Like, every game is going to come down to this kind of stuff. Like, the fact that the game came down to a
cute-ass gimmicky play. I don't care.
A game of inches, and then you make that call. Well, you didn't do it right, and you lost.
People run pony. All right, they do. All right, we're talking about two tailbacks in the end. Yeah, they run it, but you have a fullback, so he's a bigger guy. So I guess, man, whatever. It's over. They lost the game because of one of the biggest plays in the game. But I mean, it's not going to help you this week as far as the motivation. You just got to be able to execute at times, even if you're asked to do something that you're not familiar with doing.
Exactly, because it's going to happen again. There's going to be tight moments again where you need to get a yard or it's fourth down, and you have to honestly decision making. On the coaching staff as well, where you have to decide whether or not you're going to kick it or you're going to go for it. You're going to take the points or you're going to play the long, whatever. Like, I don't know. It all comes down to it. You got to do the right stuff. And so far on the season, they've done some right things, but they've done more wrong things. Yes. That's why they're 1-2, and they really need to get a win on
Sunday. I love what Dave said, because it's something that we talked about, the complimentary part. They need to run plays.
Yeah, that's true.
They need to run plays.
Just in terms of they were out. Play ran. I don't know what you even call it. They ran 20 more plays than the Falcons did on Sunday.
They got to.
It's really hard to win when the other team runs 20 more plays.
But that's what I'm saying. They got to get more plays.
Else you
got to
get off. That means you got to get off the field on third down. You have to stay on the field on third down. I don't know which one's their bigger problem. I think it's staying on the field on third down, because they're third worst in the NFL on third down through 3 weeks. But you also have to get off the field and not let the other team sustain drives. The Chiefs had the damn ball the whole first half and third quarter.
Yes.
And the Falcons were still able to score some points because they put together some good drives. But, man, yeah. All right. Let's hear from Mike Tomlin talking about
– I just want to hear Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I love what he said.
Still has a decision to make as far as when Russell gets healthy.
When Russ gets to an appropriate point of health and we have a decision to make, I'll make it and I'll announce it and I'll be really transparent about it. But until then, I don't care how many ways you guys ask me, I got no intentions of making the decision that's unnecessary at this juncture.
Yeah, he's absolutely correct. And I love his, it seems like some people were saying, I saw, well, he's hedging, or why is he why won't he name Justin the starter? What's going on with he don't have to name Justin the starter because right now technically Justin is still the backup.
Right,
he's technically and
he's filling in.
He's
for the
filling
starter.
In for the starter. But even with that being said, he's playing well this way. So why go there and say it?
He's playing better.
He's playing better.
He's played better every week.
Justin's playing like, damn it, I don't want to go back to the bench.
Which is exactly how he should be playing.
So why does Mike TD be like, well, we decided to let Justin Fields be the starter for the rest of the year? Why?
There's no point. Now, when Russell's healthy and you actually have to make that decision, like you said,
there will be a decision.
Now, I think the decision's been made. I think you're 3-0. You're going to stick with the guy who's gotten you to 3-0, although I realize their offense hasn't done a ton. I also think part of the reason why their offense hasn't done a ton is because they haven't had to. Like, you saw how they called plays against the Falcons. They knew they weren't going to give up any points, so they just ran the ball a million times.
But the playbook, if you look at the three games, the playbook, they've expanded. Arthur's expanded and let Justin do a little bit more each game.
Yes.
He's let him do a little bit more each game.
It's amazing to me how good franchises make situations that could be bad situations. Because remember, the whole conversation leading into the season, we had it a million times, everyone did, but even more so here because that was the Falcons' first opponent, was, man, it's a tough situation, a bad situation.
Right.
Now it seems like kind of a good situation.
It is.
Because that's a good organization, and they handled it correctly, and they have good players. Same thing in Green Bay. Like, Malik Willis went in there and has absolutely done his job.
Yep.
Like, you put on a Packers uniform, and then you're just good at quarterback.
Just play well.
Yeah. Crazy. Like, even guys that didn't even play there very much. Matt Flynn got $50 million.
Yep.
He played two games as a Packer, and the Seahawks were like, we've seen enough.
I want him.
Give it to him.
Give him the money, and let's draft this kid Russell Wilson, who we think might be a project.
I guess he's actually good. We'll start him, but we still have to play Matt Flynn all this money. All right, Malik Willis gets traded to us for a seventh-round draft pick and a bar of soap. But he's got to play two games. Oh, what do you know? He wins. And against the team that traded him. And he's efficient. He's out there making good decisions. Meanwhile, you have horrible franchises like the Jaguars.
Yeah.
You got a great quarterback. I think he's a great quarterback. I don't know. Maybe he's not. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence hasn't done anything. Let's give him $300 million.
Yeah,
he's going to lose eight starts in a row and say we suck afterwards.
I don't know. Free Derwin James.
Bad franchises are bad franchises for a reason.
Free Derwin James. Damn it. He's just playing football.
Yeah, I know. It didn't look that bad to me.
It didn't look bad.
I guess it's a pattern of behavior.
Well, he knocked the hell out of people.
It's a pattern of being a hard-hitting badass.
He knocked the hell out of people.
I love watching that guy play football.
That dude knocks the hell out of people,
man. He's healthy, too.
Yeah, he's been healthy the last few years.
I know.
You see,
so good.
Right there, busting heads.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have him against the Chiefs.
Ooh, that's who they played for, huh?
Yeah, that's who they got.
Uh-oh.
That's who they got.
They got a problem. Both tackles are probably out. Mm-hmm. Does Herbert banged
Herbert's
up?
Herbert's banged up. Yeah, yep. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to a college football corner. We do have some Kirby audio related to the game against Alabama on Saturday night. Former assistant that he's tapping into some info to try to figure out how to beat Kalen DeBoer. And then we also have the most NIL story of all time happening in Las Vegas. So we'll get to that as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, the rain has started here in Midtown. And they say it won't stop till about Friday midday. So get your rain jacket on.
Man. Yeah, dog. I mean,
get your umbrella out.
Do you have a raincoat?
Yeah, I got a raincoat.
Yeah, I think I got the one that they gave us here, that 99 game one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, right? Yeah, that's the only one I ever had.
It's a good one, yeah. I brought my umbrella with me
to work today.
Because I got to walk back out there after work, and I thought it would be raining by then, and it is. So obviously, all of not to just talk weather, and we love talking weather here.
Just be careful.
That has big impacts on the Braves and the Mets, because doesn't look like they're going to be able to play today.
Yeah,
and less likely that they're going to be able to play tomorrow. These games are vital. Maybe move them to Monday for a doubleheader, which would be kind of fun. It'd be kind of fun to have a winner-take-all doubleheader on Monday. But it'd probably be better if they could just play every single day and do a normal schedule.
It would help. It would help. But, yeah, so we'll see. I mean, Bo, you get alerts, right?
Yeah, well, I'll get email communication. Like, as soon as something happens, I'll know about it. It's just, you know, it's MLB that's making all these decisions.
Right.
And they'll be the ones that get with the other teams and kind of formulate what they're going to do for the rest of a couple of days. But I think playing on Monday looks to be the most obvious answer to all this, seeing as how the Mets leave.
Where do they have to go? Are they going back to New York, or do they have to go to another? My bad. Just put Bo on the spot on this one. Bo looked that up real quick. But yeah, man, I mean, it sucks because we've been looking forward to this, knowing that this was the series very likely going to be make or break. I don't know if it's winner take all, you know what I mean? Because the Diamondbacks are in the mix as well, but sort of control your own destiny type situation. And then
Mets
they go
to Milwaukee. Actually.
They go to Milwaukee. Yeah. Okay.
And then, so what is Milwaukee? Because Milwaukee's already clinched.
They've already clinched. Okay. Yeah. But you'd assume they'd want to still stay sharp and all that with the playoffs around the corner. So that's no easy task. And then the Braves have the Royals in town, and the Royals are playing for their playoff lives too. So all of these games would matter. Hopefully the Braves handle their business against the Royals to where Monday matters. Because there's a world in which they don't play today or tomorrow. The Royals come in here and smack the Braves around, and then Monday doubleheader is like...
It's just a doubleheader.
Maybe they won't even do it at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe a little advantageous to the Mets too, because the Milwaukee... Being the division winner already, they're already the top wild card.
Right, they're in spot. They're in place.
They're probably not. They're going to set their starters up for Tuesday, and could probably care less about these next couple of games.
You might have them to catch the damn Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that's a possibility too, because the Diamondbacks are right in there. The Braves are actually closer to them than they are to the Mets right now. They're a game back of the Mets last night after winning that game. They're a half game back of the Diamondbacks. So, anyway, it looks like it's going to get a little bit condensed and crunched up over the final four games of the season because of the rain in Atlanta the next couple of days, which sucks. Beyond that, also be careful because it's supposed to get really, really bad out there. And I know last time we had crazy rains, there were parts of the city that got flooded out really bad. And I know some neighborhoods are still dealing with that because it wasn't all that long ago. So just be safe and think about it and do whatever you need to do to stay safe. All right. With all that said, we'll get to a back page coming up in about 15 minutes. Let's get to a college football corner. All right, so we all kind of woke up to this story this morning, right? That the UNLV quarterback was going to leave. That he had informed them. He actually put it out on social media that he was going to take a red shirt this year. They've played three games. He's played well. They're 3-0.
Yes.
They've won some big games. They're right outside the top 25. If they beat Fresno State on Saturday, there's a pretty good chance that they'd be ranked in the top 25. And now that the season has started and people have seen teams play, there's a lot of folks that think they have a chance to be the group of five school that gets into the playoff.
Correct.
He's leaving.
Yes, he is.
He's leaving and said that basically promises weren't kept. They're alleging, him and his representation are alleging, that UNLV told him they were going to get a whole bunch of money. He hasn't gotten that money.
Yes.
And so he's taking his services elsewhere.
Okay.
There's other reporting saying that UNLV did pay him what they were supposed to pay him in NIL money. He got off to a better start than they thought he was going to. Him and his family hired an agent, and the agent was like, how about a little more? And UNLV is like, we can't do that. So they're...
Why can't they do it?
They could.
It would probably
set a bad precedent.
Yeah, I got you.
Set a bad precedent.
Because I don't know. Because again, there's two sides there's two sides that you're reading about this story.
Absolutely.
They said that there was something negotiated back in February for whatever amount this was. Now, if you're telling me that you hear the other rumor, it was $100,000 and only $3,000 has been paid out. Why the hell did you play? Because February to now, it's a lot of time to determine if somebody's gonna give you your damn money.
Right. If you were supposed to get $1,000 in NIL, $100,000 in NIL, which is reportedly what it was.
Right.
And that was agreed to in February. I don't know what the timeline is for payments, whatever. But between February and September, when the season started,
you ain't getting nothing.
You only got $3,000. That's 3% of $100,000. That's not enough.
Can I go ask?
But you're gonna play week one?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and that's why I don't know. How many weeks have they gone? Is he getting $1,000? I don't know, man.
Has he gotten $1,000 a week?
I don't know. But
he's got $3,000 reportedly in the past 3 weeks.
Three grand. in nine, how many damn months that is? No. Why am I? I'm not going to play if I'm agreed upon this number to play. I'm just going to leave.
Agreed. Agreed.
But maybe it's like, it's too late. It's too late in the game, Andy. They said they would give me my money by September.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's still September.
It's still September.
They got to wait for the move some money around at the end of the month.
I don't know, man. But this is a crazy – because you've seen it before the season. Like, you mentioned a kid that – I say George Jackson right now from Florida.
Yep.
But in the season, like, this could be the norm? I won't say the norm, but this going to – this thing, like, this might have more.
It could. I mean, it's a scenario that's not that hard to imagine, right?
No.
Like, say the other side of the story is true, which is they agreed to $100,000. They got $100,000. He's played better than they thought he was going to. And now he's trying to leverage it because he's not probably going to play in the NFL.
No.
People don't have him protected as an NFL player. No. There's another report that other schools have offered him more money than UNLV was paying him to transfer,
mm-hmm.
which is another layer of griminess to it. Because if that's true, I don't know what's the worst case scenario, but if that's true, if other schools in season are like, hey, just redshirt, you've only played three games, mm-hmm. come over here, we'll pay you double what they were paying you, sit out this year and come play for us next year, that's awful.
Yes, like, that's grimy.
I mean, all of it,
but all of
it
grimy.
Sucks. Like, no matter what the truth is, it sucks. And it's representative of where we're at right now. And it's a failure of the leadership that continues to fail.
Save your damn wallpaper, all right, bruh? Don't be, you know what I mean?
He had a nice graphic.
Yeah, save that damn wallpaper. Especially,
he had his graphic
especially
all
if
prepared.
You're trying to shake down the program. Don't put to my teammate. You ain't no teammate of mine. Quitter.
Yeah, sorry, man. You know, we play Fresno State on
Saturday.
And
that's what I'm saying. That's if that's the case. You know, I don't know who to believe.
Let me put you in this situation, though, no matter what. Like, if – does the situation matter if you're on that team to you? Like, if you're on that team and you're getting ready to play Fresno State mm-hmm. on Saturday, mm-hmm. that's probably your biggest rival
right.
in that conference. If you beat them, you have a leg up to win the conference and potentially go to college football.
Right.
Like you're a tight end on that team,
uh-huh.
and it comes out that they said they were going to give him this money. They didn't give him the money, and the week of that game, he's not going to play. I don't know. Yeah. I'd be mad no matter.
I'd be mad
no matter what.
I'm mad no matter what.
No matter what I'm.
But
mad.
It's not even about choose. I'm mad at this dude for leaving, but because I don't know your situation as far as the money and all that stuff. I'm like, damn dog, because I would have been right in the situation. Like, because we understand players understand when players hold out. You know, you don't hold that against them when they hold out and everything.
God.
You know what I mean? We don't.
But if this is a
situation where you're shaking them down for more money, then you got a problem.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy, man.
It is crazy. It sucks. I mean, this is what happens when you enter into this NIL world with absolutely no rules. Because who knows? Maybe they did offer him $100,000.
Yeah.
There's no proof of that.
There's none.
There's no rule that says they have to hold it up. Or I mean, I know that there's contracts if it's signed, and that's kind of what Rashada is, because he's that legal situation's ongoing, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to sue Florida and all these people for breach of contract.
Well, it really wasn't no contract.
If it's a verbal agreement, they don't really sign anything.
No.
It's going to be
very hard
for him to prove anything down there. I don't know what's signed and what isn't in this UNLV case with Matthew Sluka and all of that. What's weird is I listened to Barry Odom, their head coach, on the Game Day podcast last week, talking about one of the most important things in college football right now is aligning your NIL with your boosters and getting it to the players properly. Well, I guess they didn't do that.
No, that's what I
guess they didn't get that one right over there.
Offered $100,000 in February. What was the play? What was the payout? Because I don't know how it works. I know my son Isaiah, his best friend that he played with, he goes to South Carolina, and he was telling me, I love them kids. I ain't seen them, but we'll sit down and I'll talk to them while they on FaceTime. What up, Brent? How you doing? And I didn't ask him. You know, what's the payout? He told Isaiah what it was, and they get a monthly stipend for the NIL.
So whatever your grand total is,
yes.
they break it up by month.
Yes.
Okay.
That's in his situation.
In his case. Yeah. It's probably different in every case.
Every case. But
some people probably get it all up front. Some people probably get half here, half there, whatever. But that's the hard part, though. If it's broken up like that and there's no rules really regulating it. And there's no
contract.
Exactly.
I can renege them.
Yeah. Well, we're sorry, not going to do that.
Yeah.
Which would be bad and dumb if the quarterback's 3-0 and you're winning and you might go.
Right.
Which, again, inclines me to believe the shakedown is the most likely scenario. Why would you even play week one if you didn't get all your money? Seems more likely you did get all your money. Now you're playing better. You hired an agent, which is something that did happen over the last couple of weeks.
We ain't talking,
now they want more.
Andy, we ain't talking about a couple grand. $97,000 supposed to be paid out.
$97,000 is a great deal of money.
Okay.
It's a great deal of money.
Playing $97,000 shout.
Sorry.
I'm not.
I'm not playing week one.
I'm not playing week one,
I'm not playing week two. I'm not playing week three.
No. But then they also know this. Here's the thing. He's going to. So how did they press it like this? Well, you're going to have to sit out because you can't transfer right now. So you're going to have to sit out.
Right.
Because the transfer window is closed.
Right. So maybe he thought, hey, if I play and I play well, they know that I've got 3 weeks before I can declare a redshirt.
Right.
If I play well, I can put a little bit more pressure on him. This is like the trade deadline or something. I don't even know. It's all terrible.
Yeah, man.
It's all terrible. And it also wouldn't be that hard to believe it happening again. All right, let's hear Kirby Smart talking about tapping into the mind of Dan Lanning to try to figure out how to beat Kalen DeBoer.
We do that with everybody that plays against him. We do it with Dan, too. But, I mean, he didn't have the most success either. So, I mean, he's had some tough games and some tough decisions against him. And has a lot of respect for him, just like we do. But we did a lot of that in the offseason. I mean, you talk to people about your future opponents and share ideas and hold like opponents.
He did not have a lot of success.
Yeah, that's smart. He's like, yeah. I know he's played him three times. I never played him before. Didn't do great against him, but you still pick his brain a little bit. What did he do well? What did Kalen DeBoer throw at you? They didn't expect, because Lanning is running a Kirby-ish system in Oregon. Obviously, Kirby is going to run his system on Saturday.
Yes.
And Kalen DeBoer is running his system that he ran at Washington in Alabama. So
these things irritates me the most about these games that Georgia plays. Somebody very important is always missing this damn game.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Rat. He's going to be out for a while.
Who?
Rattledge.
Oh, yeah, Tate Rattledge, yeah.
Then you got Mykael Williams. I don't know if he's going to play. Just found out that Humphries is out. Who the hell else is?
Yeah.
That damn Bloody Tuesdays. They're going to be beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah. Really good to have all those
guys. It'd be so good to have especially, all your houses.
Yeah, I don't know which one especially. Rattledge would be really great to have in this game.
But that's why they recruit. They told me they got five-star guards.
Okay.
All right, playing behind him.
Good.
Now, that ain't him.
No, he's really good.
Yeah, he's really damn good.
That guy's might be one of the best guards, if not the best guard in the country.
Yes.
And Mykael Williams, I mean, people had floated his name as a number one pick.
Yes.
If he played well enough this year.
Hadn't
played, unfortunately, since the Clemson game. Yeah, man. It would be great to have everybody. But whoever is still going to be an awesome game. We got all week to talk about it. We'll get Roddy Nabalsi in here on Friday to give us his. He'll tell us. Roddy's going to tell us who will play.
Yes.
Because Roddy knows.
Because he's hearing.
Yeah, Roddy's always
hearing. Roddy's hearing.
He's always hearing stuff. We'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Twenty minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day. Braves take care of business last night in convincing fashion. Spencer Schwellenbach, fantastic. Michael Harris.
Outstanding.
Phenomenal. Just a great performance.
Outstanding.
And it looks like that's where we just have to enjoy that one for a while, because it looked like they're going to play in the next couple of days.
Well, it stopped raining.
That's true.
Yeah,
we're probably good then.
Yeah, we're probably good now.
It probably passed.
Yeah. I doubt it. But
if that was it, everybody was freaking out about nothing. But I don't think that was it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll get back into what happened last night. Talk about maybe if they play tonight, what that might look like and what the scenarios are if they don't. At 1:20 on Wednesdays, Mark Schlereth joins the show. He's our Odyssey NFL insider, and boy, does he like mayonnaise. So we're going to tell you a lot about mayonnaise during that interview as well. But we'll get his thoughts on what happened with the Falcons and the Chiefs on Sunday. Look ahead to the game against the Saints and every other big story that we could get to that's going on in the National Football League.
I was looking
around
because this did Oregon have the week off?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, damn, when I saw the Dan Lanning, I was like, damn, I ain't heard back from Florida. I mean, from Oregon in a while.
Yeah, they beat the hell out of Oregon State.
Yeah, I remember that. And then they had 5 week. Okay.
And they got to hang out.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well.
I know there's weird bye weeks this year. Like, there's a lot of teams.
There's two of them now.
Yeah, just like early weird bye weeks. And then they're playing, you know, they're also in the Big Ten, so they're playing weird games, you know.
Yeah, Washington's going to Jersey this week.
Piscataway, baby, Friday night.
Yeah, Rutgers, right now.
By the way, Rutgers favorite in that game.
Really? What's the line?
2.5.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Huskies this year. I think they're okay. But we'll see. We'll see. I know we've been talking a lot about coaching decisions, right? And the way that the Falcons handled the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering about the coaching decisions at Washington.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, come on. What are we doing? Speed option to the short side of the field?
Oh, yeah, that's still one of the worst play calls ever.
Yeah, and so that's how they have their loss. So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm just going to watch and hope. That's all it's
that's all you can do.
That's all you can do. Last year I could watch and hope confidently.
Yeah, like, this year, you got this right here, dog.
I'll watch and hope and be like, all right, Jed Fish, huh? Because that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, but Jed, I mean, he's a good football coach.
Is he?
But I think he is.
Everyone keeps saying that.
I think he's a good football
coach. And then when
I
say, why do you think that?
Yes, I think he's a good football
coach. Why do you think that?
I look what he did with Arizona. But he had a good quarterback.
What did
and
he
all
do at Arizona?
Well, I mean, he was good enough to be the head coach to go to Washington. Who was Washington's first choice?
I don't know.
He was,
and that's fine. That means a good coach.
This is another.
They hired all kinds of bums in the past.
Another intriguing matchup between the bums. Louisville and Notre Dame. Very interesting matchup. Louisville coming off the big win against Tech. Oklahoma has to go to Auburn. Oklahoma switched quarterbacks, rightfully so, because that one stunk.
Yeah.
And who's going to play quarterback for Auburn? Because Hugh Freeze is throwing everybody under the bus.
Yeah. And then Brandon Adams comes on the show yesterday, and he's like, yeah, they're tanking.
Yes. I'm like,
tanking college football. I'm not saying he's wrong, but that's a dicey proposition with an antsy fan base, man.
Like, yeah, they are antsy.
You can't just be bad for a year in the SEC.
They're antsy with a rich-ass alum.
Yeah.
Gus Bush, $20
million? A lot.
$20 million to go away?
They gave Harsin a lot to go away, and he's trolling them on the internet when they lose games to Cal at home. Dude. Like, I don't know that would be a good idea to be doing that, but they lost to Arkansas last week.
Yeah.
And they scored 14 points.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. It's bad down there. Because you thought that, what's his name, Peyton Thorne was going to bring you to the promised land.
Nah. We've seen that one. We saw what that looked like at Michigan State.
Oh, my God. The baseball kid that came from Oregon. Is he still there? Rashad is in Georgia. It'll come to me.
I don't know.
It'll come to me.
All right, let's get to the back page with Bo.
Damn kid's name. Bringing you the stories that didn't make the cut anywhere else in the show. Robbie something.
Ashford.
Yeah, Robbie Ashford.
No.
Is he still there?
Uh-uh.
So he's gone?
Every day at this time, we get to the back page with Bro, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Hello, Bo.
So the Chicago White Sox dodge history
for now.
They won a game.
Yesterday. Oh, okay. So
they continue to be tied for the Major League record in losses in a season. But I'm sure they'll muck one of these few games up they got left. So only dodge history for a minute. So speaking of dodging history, it's not often when a 3-0 team has to defend themselves, namely a player on that 3-0 team. But, hey, I played Todd McShay and his opinion of what has been going on with Travis Kelce through the first three games of the season. So I'm going to let Travis tell his side of the story as well, because that's how you got to be. You got to be fair. New Heights podcast dropped yesterday. Here's Travis telling everyone to back off.
With how defenses are playing us right now, I'm not really getting a lot of opportunities to make plays down the field, but not using that as an excuse moving forward, still trying to, make sure that I can help the team out in that regard. Knowing that I've been that weapon for us in the past, and moving forward, it's just everyone's just tweaking their game in the right direction, and we know what we have to do to get better this week, going out west to play the Chargers, and excited for the challenge, baby. And we're 3-0, man. It doesn't get any better than a 3-0 start.
Yeah, I mean, I think last year was 16 yards from 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dude is one of the best ever, if not the best. Whoever you want to say is him, Gronk. I still say Tony G, but it don't matter because you can't go wrong with either one. But I think that, he's been double covered all the time. But I don't know what it is about this year because I said it yesterday. I said it on Monday, just watching the game. Like, Kelce comes out more than he's ever come. Mm-hmm. Kelce is an every played whatever player. He came out a lot. And I'm not saying that this is out of shape or he's hurt. I just thought it was weird that he came out of the game a lot.
Maybe they're managing him.
Maybe
like
they
that.
Are.
I don't know. Maybe it's something where he's 36 years old and the late season snaps are more important than the early season snaps. I don't know. They're 3-0.
Yep.
I know
that's
that.
Most, I mean,
like you mentioned.
What's more important than that?
Nothing. And then he's also a guy that has earned the benefit of the doubt. Like, he's not – you don't – 3 games of not great play for him.
Right.
You get to say, well, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like in November and December because him and Mahomes have that relationship. And like you said, he almost had 1,000 yards again for the 8th straight year. Same time, sometimes It ends.
It ends.
It ends for everyone.
Sometimes you get old, man.
It ends for everyone. You get old, and you can't quite do it the way that you used to do it. I don't know that that happened.
You saw one of his catches in Atlanta. It looked like Travis. He's running like a deep over route. Mahomes hit him. He snatches it. But then the one that Jesse broke up.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a great play by Jesse.
He kills everybody on that route, mm-hmm. though. Kelce, it's like a little delay. He's just a stair stepping, and he just gets open. When he stair stepped, he goes. He didn't go this time. That's all I say.
Yeah. It does make for a nice little narrative, though, because he has been seen everywhere this offseason hanging out with his very famous girlfriend.
Is she, her tour's over, right?
So then you can just be like, well, that's why he's not good anymore.
Yeah. Is her tour over? All right. So
yeah, that's why she was at the first two games.
Oh, okay. Her tour's over. Okay.
Was she here?
She was not. It does not point that way. Now there's lots of people out there saying that there may have been bidding wars for these suites on Sunday night, and that maybe she was being held out from getting one, or the people that owned them. And
I feel like she could win a bidding.
I feel like she could win a bidding war.
Probably you know what buy I mean? MB Stadium if she wanted to.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, man, 36 years old, multiple Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame career.
I would walk away.
I think he's probably fine, but also and he'll probably play better later in the year.
Why is he having to make excuses for himself?
He don't have to do that.
He shouldn't. He doesn't have to.
He doesn't. I love him top of shape, but he's good. He's all right.
So in the Monday Night Football game that everybody turned off as soon as the second Monday Night Football game started.
Yeah, two again this week. I saw.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Not as good a matchup as we had last week, or at least one good matchup.
Oh, yeah.
So as the Buffalo Bills were thrashing, who was it they played?
Oh, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville Duvals. Mm-hmm. Apparently, LeBron James had taken note to how Josh Allen was warming up in pregame, and he sent him a tweet during the game. Here's Josh Allen.
I've been wearing LeBron's cleats, the Fruity Pebbles, at practice for that reason. I'm a big fan of his, and coming from him, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, NBA basketball player of all time, I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, so he
much
got
respect.
Some. I didn't know. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know they made cleats LeBron either. Cleats.
Yeah, I know, because Ohio State wears them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Ohio State wears them a lot. I saw that he sent some shoes to Deion, and Travis Hunter got them, and it took them. So, like, yeah.
When you played in St. Louis, was it the old turf?
No.
It wasn't. No. It was new turf. Okay. Because mm-hmm. somebody had a slideshow the other day of NFL players back in the day wearing basketball shoes, on those fields.
Because when I was playing in Miami, Buffalo still had it.
Okay.
Buffalo still had it. I'll never forget this, Andy. And I was wearing, and then Indianapolis had them.
Okay.
And we wore, I forgot what player that was, but there was we wore basketball shoes in Indy.
Because it's indoors.
Yes, it's indoors. Yes, yeah, so we wore basketball shoes in. And then I called myself going to wear them in Buffalo. And it was slick.
It was wet.
So I'm sliding all over.
You were Reebok then?
I was Nike.
Oh, you were Nike. What basketball shoes did
you wear? I can't think of it right now. It'll come to me in a sec.
It was a cool slideshow because it was like all these late 90s, early 2000s, like Jordans.
Yeah.
And people had like, I don't know.
I wore the Mosses.
The Barclays.
I wore the Mosses. Okay. Yeah, I wore the Mosses one time. But yeah, we had to, and then I got up there and I had to.
Somebody had the Sean Kemp's, the old comic.
I had some damn turf shoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's wild. Can't do that anymore. Nobody plays on turf like that, which probably is for the best.
And a special shout-out real quick to strongman Dan Jones. And if you Google that name, this video will probably immediately pop up. So Dan was doing a strongman competition in the UK a couple weeks ago, last week, earlier this month. So a farmer's-type carry. He's carrying 175 pounds. So that's basically me.
Mm-hmm.
Shows him almost make it to the finish line, then he collapses. Both knees buckle. It's not the most gruesome injury
I don't
in the
see
world
that.
To watch,
no.
But
I just reading
does, the way that he kind of just collapses.
What did he break?
Ruptured both patella tendons.
Both kneecaps. Ooh. Let me just read you the headline. Both kneecaps shoot up into his thighs.
Damn.
Gross.
Yeah.
Very.
How old is he?
Not sure. But
damn. Both kneecaps shot up. And he was carrying a what?
He's doing a farmer's carry where he's just carrying the weight. Just walking straight, but he's carrying 175 pounds. That's me. That's what I weigh.
Yeah.
So he's basically carrying me through a whole allotted, and then he just knees, just both knees just buckle.
What's his name again?
He collapses.
Dan himself. Jones.
I need to see
ouch.
This.
Horrifying moment. Dad's kneecaps. It's funny. They didn't call him a strongman. They just called him a dad. He's calling him.
Oh, because he didn't finish? Oh, he's a strongman.
I don't know. Ugh.
Yeah, they don't look good, man.
Think how old he is. Is this what happens when you turn 40?
No.
I don't think that has anything
to do with that
your
you would be doing that, Andy.
Your kneecaps just shoot up into your
thighs?
That's
not true.
Oh, he's 29. All right.
Okay. So. Yeah. He's a young buck.
All right. He's young.
A young buck.
So it could happen to anybody, is what you're saying.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, your patella tendons are never safe.
Don't
I, just, Achilles, I assumed I was going to get out of bed today and my Achilles were both just going to snap.
Because of what?
Because I'm 40 now.
Because you're making fun of it.
My body's just like, oh, you're 40 now. Pow.
Andy, I had softball practice on Monday where I got out and, you know, I'm a do by example, lead by example type dude. Uh-huh. I got out there and I was sliding across the grass showing my girls how to slide because we gave a couple runs away on Sunday by just running straight into a base.
Right.
I had to show them how to slide, man. My Achilles
are you
still fine,
back
bro.
Out there doing it?
I am.
How's your body feel?
Feels great. I got a strawberry on my
I know. Last hand. Time you came in here, you damn scraped skin off your leg.
Yeah. I got that same thing kind of going on. But.
The game I was at, the girl, the young ladies, they were awesome sliding.
Some of them are, but some of them,
I think you just
some
like
of them are just kind of scared to slide.
I think you just like sliding.
It is fun.
I think you just like sliding. Because I watch the girls come in, like to a pass ball, sliding in. You just like doing that.
You just like to say that I can still do it. You
not
like
necessarily.
To say you like to say
because I wasn't a feet first slider anyway.
You were a head first. Charlie Hustle slider.
Ricky, baby. Yeah.
Interesting. You still do that?
When I play slow pitch softball, I will. But I haven't played slow pitch softball in a couple years.
I like to hear that.
Dribble.
I like to hear it.
Just
got to go all out. What's the point? You know? Why are you out there?
You did it too. I mean, you took out a lady.
I did.
Yep.
On accident. Broke up
a double play
she
and knocked the lady out.
She was supposed to slide. She didn't slide.
Knocked the lady out.
How am I supposed to hurdle you if you don't slide?
Yeah, dog.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big thing. I was like 24 at that point. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.